Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Night of the Reaper. It's directed by Brandon Christensen, written by Brandon and Ryan Christensen, starring Jessica Clement as Dina, Ryan Robbins as Sheriff Rodney Arnold, and Summer H. Howell as Emily. The plot of the movie is a college student, Dina, visits home and is roped into babysitting. The local sheriff is mailed a piece of evidence and is led on a scavenger hunt to reveal the killer of another babysitter. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah, beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Night of the Reaper?
Shudder with another absolute banger. We both love slashers, and you really can't ever go wrong with one. Night of the Reaper is a masterclass in suspense and dread building. Plus, there were several twists in the third act that, in my opinion, were not predictable at all, which is a welcome change because usually you can see this shit coming from a mile away in a slasher.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love some of these twists at the end. A few of them caught me completely off guard. So, I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about all that. Yeah. But, man, yeah, this movie was great. You and I, massive fan of slashers. And Shudder killed it on this one. This is not what I was expecting the slightest bit. I saw like Night of the Reaper. I'm like, all right, we'll see. Maybe it's a kind of one of those half-assed type slasher movies that sometimes you see on these services and you're like, all right, whatever, it's fine. But no, this was fucking great. I loved this. I loved pretty much everything about it except for one aspect. And well, two aspects really. One of those aspects, the amount of dead dogs in this fucking movie. What the hell?
I know. I was like, is this going to be the whole movie? Because the killer is killing dogs.
Yep.
Like, and they're just leaving the dogs to get the attention of victims.
Yeah. It's like the calling card. It's exactly that. It's a calling card. Mm-hmm. And it's a diversion. So the killer kills this dog. And what happens is the victim always going out to look at the dog and see what's happening. And then the killer finds their way into the house just by distracting. So this is the clear MO of what the killer wants to do for his victims. Mm-hmm. And man, let me tell you, this movie starts off with a bang. But also I want to set this expectation too, is that this movie was taking place in the 80s. And we know how much I love fucking 80s shit.
So like the very first few minutes of this movie, I'm like, especially where we see the town that they're living in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is this fucking Haddonfield?
Yeah.
It looked like Haddonfield. In the 80s, the VHS, the vibes that we got during the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew right when that was happening that we were going to love this. Because, like I said in my initial comments there, you can't go wrong with a slasher. And when you are able to recreate that shit that we loved, you know, the fucking 1970, what was it, 77 or 78 Halloween? Mm-hmm. Whatever year that one came out. The original Friday the 13th.
Yep.
That vibe, that this doesn't get captured that much anymore.
It doesn't. Everything's way too polished now. Back in the 80s, well, 70s and 80s, it was still in the infancy stages of slashers. And because of that, we had that still grainy look and the practical effects and everything like that. Now, a lot of CGI, a lot of over-the-top shit, with the exception of, like, Terrifier and stuff, who they specifically try to go out of their way to do as much practical effects as humanly possible.
Yeah, and like they definitely captured like that old vibe in those films, but I also think a lot of it had to do with the budget they were working with.
Yeah, I don't think they had a large budget for Halloween or Friday the 13th.
No, and I mean, the original Halloween was a fucking high school college project.
Yeah, basically.
Or not high school college. Wasn't it a high school final or something?
I don't know. I don't remember if it was like a high school final. I watched this documentary. It was like, it was called The Movies You Make. Oh, no, The Movies That
Movies
Made
That
Us.
Made Us.
Yes, that. This whole series where they dissect basically all these movies, it's fantastic. If you haven't watched it, I think it's on Netflix still, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, all that. Right. And the other, the spinoff of that, The Toys That Made Us, was really good too.
I didn't watch that. I bet
oh,
that's
man.
Good. Yeah,
there's
that's
a whole
right
episode on the Ninja Turtles.
Ooh, baby.
The Toys, yeah.
Yep. Oh, I could get down with that. But they talk about, when they're filming Halloween and stuff, they're trying to think of the mask and they're trying to think of like all these locations, getting the money, getting everything squared away. It gives you really this in-depth breakdown of what they did for the movie. And obviously we all know the William Shatner mask. They just went to a local place for Halloween. And they were just like, well, I don't know, maybe we can do something with that. And they grabbed it and they just fucking cut the eyes more and cut the hair and all this stuff. And now you have Michael Myers. And yeah, they talk a lot about that. And that's something I feel like we don't get that much these days.
No.
Because, and don't get me wrong, slashers are really starting, well, not slashers, I'm sorry. Horror is really starting to make a comeback. And because of that, I feel like there's more money to go around because now there's like this resurgence and people want to see these movies.
Yeah.
So that's why you're seeing a lot of these movies look a lot better. You know, like straight out 4K, all that stuff. You know, they just look like $1 million.
Yeah, it's just like you have all these big production companies now and investment companies willing to put this money into these movies because they see what's happening.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they see
the
writing.
We talked about this over and over and over again. Horror is bigger now than it ever was.
It really is. It's the biggest I've seen it in years. I mean, 80s was a fucking banging time for horror.
It's only
effects.
That big because of us, Steve, since we started this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all about us, right? Everyone's like, holy shit, there's this podcast, and they're reviewing horror movies. All of these movies are great. Well, I'm going to watch them all. And now, you know, there's millions upon millions of dollars going around. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, send some of it to our bank account.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we kind of have one. You can PayPal us, you know, 30screamsorless@gmail.com. Just send us a bunch of money.
Yeah, and we should talk about it now because by the time people hear this, it's going to be out.
Why not?
Go ahead, absolutely. Steve, tell them.
So we have a brand new shirt design and logo, and it's pretty fucking sick. It's a Chucky design. And he's standing on top of a pentagram, there's candles, like pumpkins, his head's on a stake. And it's the Chucky from, which one? Bride of Chucky.
Yeah, it's Bride, because he's got the stitched up face.
Yeah, with the stitched up face and everything, it's sick. And we have our whole new death metal style logo that we are actually going to be using now. So if you want to check it out, go to 30screamsorless.com, go to our shop, and you'll see it right there. It's sick. It's really fucking cool. We'll be posting it all over social media, trying to get people to buy it. It's great.
We're very excited about this. We decided it was time for a refresh going into year 3.
Yep.
Time to do some new shit. So go buy it. And
yeah, we're going to
support us.
Exactly.
It'll be very much helpful.
Yeah. Support us. Buy our merch. Donate to us on PayPal. If anything, also this, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. Hit that notification bell, all that stuff. More subscribers we get, eventually we'll get to 500. And then people can actually start, I don't know, maybe really supporting us there. That's how YouTube works. Once you get like 500 subscribers, they can be like, oh yeah, I'm going to toss money at you or whatever. And then 1,000, you start making money on ads. Because, hey, we got hosting to pay for. Corey just saw the back end of the website for the first time. And now he's like, shit, now I see the work that goes into this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve could use a few bucks.
I just show up on Wednesdays and call it a day.
Yep. Yeah.
Make the social media post occasionally. Hey, I set up all the interviews and stuff, though. That's my work for this podcast.
I will give you that. Maybe we'll make you lead in communications. You'll be the one that talks to the people, getting like people on or getting guests on the show. And you can work on social posts, and I'll fucking do the editing and fucking everything else.
Yeah, so basically everything that I already do?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, Continue doing that, and I'll teach you things. Yeah. We're all about being collaborative here at 30 Screams Less, everyone.
Speak for yourself, pal.
Speak for yourself, moron. Oh, my God, that is funny. Gotta throw a Billy Madison quote in
there. I think this is the second week in a row we did that.
Yeah, probably. For some reason, for our horror podcast, we tend to talk a lot about Adam Sandler.
And he has still not made an appearance on this. I would love to have him on this podcast so we can talk about Hubie Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a horror movie. We'll go for it. It's a horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, has he
Maybe
done
when
any...
the sequel comes out.
Yeah. Oh, wait. There is another sequel coming out. Or a sequel coming out. That's right. Yeah, I forgot all about it.
Yeah, people have been begging for it.
Yeah, he's got that crazy deal with Netflix that is giving him millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to do like X amount of movies.
Yeah.
Which, good for him. Not a bad gig. Just like, all right, I'm going to make these movies and put all my buds in them. Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
we get to go on vacations to islands somewhere every once in a while when we're filming a movie, because usually they film on a fucking island somewhere.
Yeah. What's the movie with the, like, David Spade, Rob Schneider, Grown-Ups?
I was going to say, all of them?
Yeah, all of them, basically. His whole crew. I think they shot Grown-Ups in the Lakes region, like in Laconia.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like that area, which...
Yeah. Might have been somewhere in Massachusetts, but you're right. It was definitely shot around here.
They definitely filmed a scene at a Target or a Kmart in Massachusetts. I've heard about that. I think it was Kmart. Kmart makes sense because you're not going to close down a Target. You might close down a Kmart. People are like, what the fuck is Kmart?
That opening scene in Thanksgiving, the Black mm-hmm. Friday shopping.
Yep.
Do you think they closed down a store to do that?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I think they had that kind of money that we're just talking about to throw at that kind of movie.
So. Virgil would call it fuck money.
Yeah. Yeah, that fucking makes sense. fucking Virgil. Rip. Okay. So we should go back into the movie, and we start off with a bang. And like your typical babysitter type scene, she's watching the kids, the parents out, and the kid's like, there's a skin eater in my closet. I'm like, what? What the fuck is a skin eater?
Excuse me?
I'm like, excuse me? I'm all about this already. So yeah, he's like, I need the lights off. I need the door closed, this light on, all this stuff. And this is when the babysitter, she's going around, she's dancing, listening to 80s music, which I love 80s music. We've talked about this. It's just, it's a whole different fucking ballgame than the music now. So she's hanging out, doing her thing. She made a fucking mess of the place, cleans it up, and she's expecting the homeowner to come in. She hears like the garage door going and no one's there. Immediately, we see like a dead dog in the road. Dead dog number one. The counter of dead dogs in this movie is astronomical.
We went, I don't mean to laugh about it, but we went from dead kids to dead dogs.
Yeah, what the fuck? Don't want it.
I'd rather dead kids.
I'd rather dead kids, he says. That's funny, man. Oh, jeez.
There's your TikTok clip for next week.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. We get Corey banned immediately. I'd rather have dead kids than dead dogs. TikTok is going to friggin' annihilate us. We'll blow up. Someone's getting canceled. All that stuff.
Fuck it. Commit to the bit.
Commit to the bit, I guess.
Yeah,
hey,
this might
you're
be
watching
our last episode.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Yeah. Hey, you're watching a podcast about horror movies. Everything fucking goes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Well, actually, not sorry. Fuck off. No. Seriously.
Fuck off.
Yeah. First dead dog, she comes back in and she sees this teddy bear with like a piece of paper that says, you're pretty. And like the most broken ass English ever.
I got triggered when I saw that letter.
Yep.
And then that little kid fucking talk shit instantly. I was like, yes.
That's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, they're not using contractions. Well, contractions, right?
No, it was just, is that what a your and your is?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Hold it was on. Just poor grammar.
It is. Well, it
but
is poor
called,
grammar. She
it's
said
called
that.
Contractions.
1 second. Oh, geez. Not that kind of contractions.
I was like,
yeah.
I was like, damn, having a baby and that is the same thing? What?
Yeah, it's a contraction. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're called contractions. So this person clearly didn't know contractions, which immediately you're kind of thinking, all right, maybe it's a teenager who's fucking dumb. So she's going around this house and more shit is happening. She's seeing like photos on the ground, like, or not photos, pictures in frames all lined up on the ground. There's more teddy bears with notes in their hands and shit like that. And like, be mine and you're pretty and all this stuff. And then we see the main portion of this movie. Like, the big thing about this movie is that the killer films his killings.
Ugh, I love this.
Yeah.
So I've been on this, like, serial killer kick lately. Like, okay. Real serial killers.
I'll bite. Let's talk.
No, I've been watching all kinds of documentaries, and I've been reading books. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, used to do this. He used to record all the shit he used to do, and he would send it to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the killer in this movie was doing.
Yeah, a lot of...
I loved that. It's such a cool, like... I don't know if they did that on purpose, like as a callback, but mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. Here I am, fucking glorifying serial killers.
Yeah.
Like, real
it had
ones.
A very Zodiac feel to it.
Yeah.
Zodiac was always taunting police and the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't taunting newspapers, but they were definitely sending out clues to the police of, like, you know, the crime scenes and shit. So the first clue was a garage door opener. And it was the garage door opener for the place where the first murder happened, which I think her name was Emily, right? Yeah, I put that down.
Yeah.
You know, it's Emily. Okay. First, it started with that. And next, there was another box that was delivered at someone else's house that worked at the place. And it was a videotape of another person being murdered. And this was also another person that died. And they said, like, oh, it's just an accident. He fell and hit his head while taking a piss or whatever. And he was drunk. It's like, who hits their head that bad by falling over and pissing? Come on. Like, even if you're drunk, you're basically superpower. I mean, you see this all the time when there's car accidents and people are drunk. They're just fucking ragdolling through the air. They wake up and they're like, ow, I'm fine. What happened? You know, they're just like, they're not even bothered, not even fazed.
No.
So, yeah, no, not buying it. Buying it the slightest bit. Unless he maybe fell off a cliff. And then even then, he'd probably wake up at the bottom and go, oh, that hurt. I don't know. You must have, like, superhuman strength when you're drunk. Your body goes, ah, fuck it. We'll just fuck up one spot. And,
dude, I've seen some Instagram reels that would say you're correct.
Yeah. Man, you're not wrong. You've sent me a ton of shit of people just getting really fucked up when they're drunk. And they're just perfectly fine. They just get up and walk away from it.
Yeah, I've seen, like, a ton where, like... someone will get into some sort of confrontation with a cop.
Yep.
The cop will empty a whole clip into their chest, and that person will still keep coming towards them.
Yeah, and they're just like, what?
It's like some straight up 28 days later shit. It's
fucking wild, man.
But no, they're just on something that's giving them superpowers.
Yeah, that or PCP or fucking whatever. I don't know. Drugs.
You ever seen the documentary that Steve-O put out, and it was called PCP Saved My Life?
What? No.
Yeah, it's just like, this is obviously before he was sober, but he just did a bunch of PCP and filmed the whole, like, experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so, like, him filming it realized that he fucked up in his life.
Yeah, there was one scene, actually, where he was doing an interview at Rock 101 Studios in Manchester.
No shit.
Yeah, that they filmed while he was all fucked up.
Oh, man. He's done some shit. There was one episode of... Adam Carolla's show, do you remember this? Where Steve-O was fucking, like, messed up on the show. And he's, like, smashing his foot through a glass coffee table. And he's fucking with Adam Carolla. And they basically have to just, like, cut the commercial and get the fucking guy out of there. But he was a mess, man. He was a real fucking mess. Leave it to Steve-O to be the most level-headed one out of Jackass all of a sudden.
I know, right?
I think he's just a stunt dude now. Like, he just does stupid stunt tricks.
Well, he does, and he tours with it, too. And all of his shows sell out.
Good for him.
And it's like, he's like a good dude. Legitimate good dude. He bought a, like, farmland somewhere. I can't remember where it is, but him and his girlfriend or fiance or wife, whatever, they turn into an animal sanctuary.
That's great.
So they're just, like, giving animals a good home.
But unlike this fucking killer who keeps...
Yeah, unlike this killer who's killing the dogs.
Fucking dick. I bet you Steve-O's watching this movie and going, this sucks. Not a fan. Hate it.
Yeah, he's not going to watch it after he watches this episode of us.
Well, yeah, because he listens to us all the time, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the kill happens. Like, Emily's dead. The whole central point of this movie is the camera. All these clues are being sent out to the cops. He's finding, like, in different locations. Like, there was one location where that kid was murdered by a rock, and it was another clue. And
the rock?
The rock, yes. No. So it's very solid opening, great start to this movie. I love that I was constantly engaged in it. I never looked at the watch to figure out what was going on. Nothing like that. And I knew this is like, this was going to be a fucking banger of a movie. And I was 100% right. Then we meet Dina, the protagonist of this movie. And at first you think she's kind of the quiet type, smart, timid, that type deal. We find out that's not the case later on.
Yeah, this script gets flipped.
Yeah, it gets so fucking flipped, man. So flipped. I didn't expect this at all.
No. That's what we were talking about in the beginning, where there was these twists that were completely... I've never seen anything like that before.
Mm-mm. Nope. No. It was one of those, the prey becomes the predator type deals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like just by happenstance. It's a fucking planned masterpiece. Oh, God. I don't know how much I want to give away with that.
Yeah, let's not give it all away.
Yeah, I don't want to give it all away, but it is so fucking good. You're going to enjoy it. If you love twists in movies, that's like my thing. I love a good twist in a movie. I love sitting there and going, oh, shit, did not expect that. I feel like that goes missing occasionally when like there's a prime opportunity for it. And this movie is just like, oh, you like twists? Here's one. Here's another. Here's another. And here's another. And I'm like, damn.
Just
I'm
layered on the twists.
Just layers upon layers upon layers. The writing by the Christensen brothers, top notch on this. Top notch job.
Have they done anything else?
Well, let's see. Brandon Christensen, he's done...
nothing that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, me neither.
Torture porn.
Cool. I have a feeling that this is going to be the breakout movie for
it
them.
Should be. It kind of reminds me of that movie Deadstream that we loved.
Yeah, Deadstream was great too.
So the director of that film, and now I cannot remember his name, but I feel like his career kind of took off after that came out, and he had made a ton of stuff prior.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Michael, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the last name.
We talked to him. What the fuck was his name?
I don't know. Oh my God.
Him and his wife, right? What? They made that movie?
Yeah, Michael. Santa, nope. Michael, give me a second. Levy. Michael
no,
Levy.
It's Joseph Winter.
What are you talking about? For Stream?
Deadstream.
Oh. Oh.
Don't cut that out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Deadstream's a fucking masterpiece, by the way. Absolute
that's
masterpiece.
That's what I was talking about.
I thought
Joseph
Stream,
Winter and his wife.
Joseph Winter and his wife. Okay. We are not in the right, like, same page at all.
No, you.
Holy
no.
Shit.
Nope. We're talking about two different movies.
Oh my God. Wow.
Definitely similar in name, but.
Yes, but Deadstream was great. That was definitely a standout movie. That should have like altered the trajectory of his life because that thing was, it was fun. It was a fun ass horror movie, like a like comedy horror movie. If you haven't seen Deadstream, obviously we gave it a 5 out of 5 way back. And it's great. I was wearing a Deadstream shirt yesterday. All right, so the sheriff at this point, like he's getting all these clues. When he's looking at one of the videos where Emily was murdered, he noticed that the van in the video, like the license plate, was the same license plate that Dina walked past earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know that license plate because it's very distinctive. That's why I don't get custom license plates, because everyone knows who you fucking are if you have this like license plate. So he went straight to the kid, brought him in, couldn't arrest him because it was all speculation at that point. But he had a camera on him all the time. Obviously, the sheriff is very suspicious. And he says something that alluded to his friend being involved in it as well, his like jock friend.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something weird happening with Dina and that jock friend. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Chad.
But
was it Chad?
Could have been. Sounds like a jock
name. Well, that's the one that he gets revealed towards the end of the movie being involved in the whole thing, right?
No, he's revealed to be helping, not
okay,
helping
Chad
the killer.
Chad was involved, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So eventually we do find out that the kid that was always holding the camera is involved. But I won't tell you anything else, really. So
watch the fucking movie.
Basically, watch the fucking movie. I mean, we got time to kill. Like, this is the weird thing, is that we're a horror movie podcast. We are heavy spoilers. We don't mind giving out these spoilers. We even have the disclaimer at the beginning. But sometimes we feel this urge to not give it away when a movie is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those movies where, like, you deserve to see these twists happen. because if we're caught off guard, you're definitely going to be caught off guard. Unless, like, for some reason you see this coming from a mile away, then good on you. But we didn't see it coming. And we've been doing this for a very long time. I mean, podcast recording this for almost 4 years now. Actually, we're going on fourth year.
Are we?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because we got season three. We're going to do season four in the winter, like we always do. And, you know, we got some surprises coming up for that one. That's going to be a good one. Yep.
So excited.
Yeah. So that's going to be a big one. But, I mean, it's no...
yeah, so December 1st is going to be a massive episode.
Yep.
That's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
The teasers.
That's our teaser. So, Corey, I honestly think we should just get into reviews. So, Corey, what do you think of Night of the Reaper?
So this is going to get a 4 out of 5.
Yep.
I actually love this, which is saying something, because I usually spend half these movies predicting who dies next.
Mm-hmm.
This one had legit 80s slasher vibes and enough twists to make M. Night Shyamalan jealous.
Yeah.
The sound design used silence so effectively, I thought my Shudder app actually froze.
Oh, jeez.
And the score? If you told me it wasn't John Carpenter and Harry Manfredini, I'd assume you were lying, mostly because I really wanted it to be.
Yeah,
Halloween and Friday the 13th inspired score, I feel, very, very heavily.
Yes, I noticed that. A lot of similarities between the Halloween score and this. Like, I even thought the same thing. I thought that they were even using music from Halloween.
Okay.
I was like, wait a second, that sounds familiar. And I think they just had it, like, that was obviously their inspiration, had to be their inspiration for creating that score. And it was great. It had that old school type sound to the score, which we love. We're also big on movie scores anyways. We love getting that shit on vinyl. I just got my Jaws that's got fucking water inside it on vinyl.
Did you open yours?
Not yet.
Yeah, I haven't opened mine either.
I'm scared.
I'm scared to open mine now that my second one I ordered is canceled.
Yeah, I know. I usually do the, I open like at the very end by using like an X-Acto knife.
Yes.
Or something.
You leave the plastic on.
Yep, and I leave the plastic on as much as possible. However, I think that's a gatefold. So the plastic's going to be pointless. Like, I have to take it off. But
did you shake the vinyl around at all?
No, fuck that.
It sounds like water splashing around.
Does it?
Yeah, you can hear it.
I'm going to have to give that a little shake. Okay, let me go into my review now.
Let's hear it, Steve.
Yeah, let's hear it. Actually, well, I wanted to chime in on a couple other things. Obviously, like the score I thought was great, like you were saying. You know what? I'll just talk about my review because it's pretty much the same deal. So I was going to go out with a 5 out of 5 on this, but the ending really, and I mean really, confused me. Like, I had to actually go back and rewind it to understand what was happening. And when I did, I still didn't get it. But maybe that was just my brain overthinking, like, why go through all the trouble? I was just so confused. That, along with the excessive amount of dead dogs. Corey, is that why you gave it a 4 out of 5?
Instead of a 5 out of 5?
Yeah.
I would say the dead dogs, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And like you said, the ending was a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
It's like they decided not to report any of this shit going on. Just let it be.
Yep.
Like, what? What?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is why hide it? Why not just, like, show the world who it was and, like, drag them through the fucking gutter? All that, right?
Yeah.
So I just didn't understand why they wouldn't do that. So if anyone can, like, explain to us why they would do that, we want to hear it. Let us know. Because my overthinking brain was just like, this seems more work than it needs to be. You could easily just, like, drag this person through the mud, dump him in, like, the corner of a cemetery where no one wants to be, and then, boom, that's it. Move on with your life. But now you have a secret you're going to harbor for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to weigh on you.
Probably some, yeah, exactly, some guilt, and it's just going to weigh on you.
Yeah.
Especially where, like, Dina's a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's still young. She's
just still
starting young. College. She's probably, like, 19.
Mm-hmm.
So she's probably going to hold on to that for the remainder of her life, that, oh, yeah, we took care of this person. And whatever, she's missing. We don't know what happened with the body. Nothing like that. It's just, I don't know. I thought that was weird. I couldn't figure it out. The dead dogs, too, that was a big thing. But I honestly think the ending more, for me, than the dead dogs is why it lost a point. If the ending wasn't confusing to me, I would have given this a 5 out of 5 all day. Mm-hmm. I thought this was great. So I will say this. Dina is a badass. The gore was great. Lots of twists and turns that really caught me off guard on this one, which is always nice. Of course, it taken place in the 80s, and I love that era, so that just felt really at home to me. I mean, I was born in the 80s and grew up through it, so I know this, the music, I know the movies, everything. It's just a lot of stuff came out in the 80s that were really great and revolutionary. Acting was good, especially with Jessica Clement, who is Dina, and the waterworks coming from that girl. It was wild to see someone be able to cry as good as she did.
I always give props to anyone that can do that on screen and make it look believable.
Yeah, it was absolutely believable. Like, in kind of one of those hopeless situations where she's just looking, but she wants to be such a badass, and you just see her fighting back and the tear just dropping down. It's pretty impressive. I've always been impressed by that. Same with you. Because crying on command is something you actually have to channel into in order to do it. Like, you have to channel some fucking traumatic shit to
make sure. Yeah, I was like, how do you actually trigger that within your body? Because, like, you got to reach a certain emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk to someone who has to cry on screen to see how you trigger that.
A lot of them will say you have to channel a certain emotion. It's like, all right, what are you thinking about?
I can't tell you the worst thing that ever happened to you in your life.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, shit. I don't know.
That type deal. Picture, like, the worst thing that's happened to you, or maybe the worst thing that's ever going to happen to you, and focus on that and make yourself unbelievably sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would think. I used to be able to, like, tear up, but not fucking waterworks. I mean, Sydney Sweeney has the same ability, too, to just fucking waterworks. I mean, in Euphoria, she was crying constantly.
You know who else does it a lot? Who's that? Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, shit. You're right, huh?
Have you watched the show 911?
No, I have not watched 911.
It's so terrible, but we watch it every week. While we're watching it, we'll make jokes being like, what's the over-under on Jennifer Love Hewitt crying this episode? Because seriously, it's like 4 or 5 seasons in, and I swear to you, she cries every fucking episode.
So here's what you do. You make it a drinking game.
Jennifer Love Hewitt cries, you take a shot. It's like the Rumble game.
Yeah, exactly like that. Oh, you can't do that. And then the 92 Rumble?
Yeah. So dead people, or what? If someone comes in through the bottom rope, if someone gets thrown over the top rope,
it's like take a shot if a wrestler comes in and he's currently dead, or dead now.
What would happen if we try and play that game now? We'd probably be hammered after the first or second one. We did this shit 10 years ago all the time.
Yeah, we don't have that ability anymore. I know I don't, man. I have a drink now, and the next day I have a hangover. Mm-hmm. Or it's just a headache. It's weird.
Yep.
Like, when you get older, your body's like, no, I'm not playing games with you. Not today.
You fucking abused me for 25 years. We're good. Yeah.
My turn.
My turn, bitch. You get to suffer now.
Fuck off.
To your review.
All right, I'm getting back to my review. I'm killing time. Fuck off.
We fucking went off track again during your review.
But I was basically saying that the acting was great. I love the flips. Again, this is one of the twists that happened, but it almost seems like that, and I feel like I can say this, that Dina almost went from the protagonist to the antagonist with that fucking twist, man. And who can blame her? And it makes sense why she was acting the way that she did. So I thought this was great. Again, the end confused me. I still definitely recommend it. You can watch Night of the Reaper now on Shudder. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps go in towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.